The next on reports, we'll hear from Judge Kenneth So, PCLC.
Yesterday, you had a chance to meet our new Office of Governmental Affairs Assistant Director, Laura Speed. PCLC is thrilled to have her join our team, and we know she will ably represent the council and the branch. With the September 13 close of the 2013-2014 legislative session, the meeting schedule for the Policy Committee has slowed since Justice Baxter's last report to the Judicial Council. The Policy Committee has met three times, taking positions on behalf of the Judicial Council on various matters. On September 3rd, PCLC voted to take an opposed in part and no position in part on Senate Bill 569 relating to jury instructions. The governor, however, has signed that bill. At its September 9th meeting, the committee took a neutral position on AB 1127, which relates to court interpreters, and the governor vetoed that bill. Additionally, PCLC voted to oppose Senate Bill 743, which required the council to adopt a rule of court to establish procedures applicable to certain lawsuits seeking review of a public agency's action in certifying an environmental impact report and in granting project approvals for a downtown arena project in the city of Sacramento. The governor has signed that bill. Yesterday's meeting was the committee's annual in-person meeting where we provide an orientation for new policy committee members on the operations of the policy committee and review and make recommendations for Judicial Council-sponsored legislation, which will be presented to the council at its December meeting. I would like to welcome our new policy committee members, Judges Stephen Baker, Cheryl Ellsworth, Robert Glusman, David Rosenberg, Mr. Mark Bonino, and Mr. James Fox. And we welcome back our returning members, Judge Jim Herman and our Vice Chair, Jim Brandlin. At yesterday's meeting, PCLC reviewed a proposal for Judicial Council-sponsored legislation that came up through the advisory committee process and public comment relating to tribal access to confidential juvenile court files, and we also adopted the 2013 legislative policy summary. I am pleased that Justice Baxter has decided to remain on PCLC, and it's not often that I notice a mistake that a Supreme Court justice has made. But he did give me his cell phone number. And I thank him for his thoughtfulness and graciousness and words of wisdom. The legislature will reconvene on September 6, 2014 for the second year of the 2013-14 two-year session. And throughout, we will be bringing you updates on Judicial Council-sponsored bills, budget issues, and bills of interest to the branch. And if anybody has any questions about any of that, please feel free to contact me. That concludes the report, Chief.
Thank you, Judge So. We'll hear next from Executive and Planning Committee, Justice Miller.
Thank you, Chief. I think I'll first note that I have never seen the Supreme Court make a mistake. At least I'll publicly say that. For the benefit of our new Judicial Council members and for any of those listening to our audio cast, the primary role of executive and planning is to set the agenda for each of our meetings, as well as to oversee certain tasks delegated to us by the council. Each year, the Chief Justice rotates a portion of our Judicial Council members on and off various internal committees, so we each can have the benefit of bringing in fresh and diverse voices. This month, I want to welcome our new ENP members. They include our Vice Chair, Judge David Rubin from San Diego, as well as Sacramento Judge David D'Alba, Santa Clara Judge Brian Walsh, Alameda Commissioner Sue Alexander, and Contra Costa Judge Marianne O'Malley, who, by the way, I have sitting next to me so that I can maintain a modicum of decorum during our meeting. Our attorney members are James Fox and Mark Robinson. Thank you, Judge Terry Jackson, Judge Steve Baker, and Court Executive David Yamasaki for staying on our committee and not persuading any of our new members to try another one. Our capable AOC staff members will post a full report online after our meeting, but I'd like to mention a few of the oversight activities we've been involved in. As one example, 2 years ago, our committee asked the Accountability and Efficiency Advisory Committee to examine business processes in the AOC. Sure enough, in August, this past August, after studying the issue, the Accountability and Efficiency Committee came back with guidelines to the council, which we have approved. I'm happy to see the guidelines will improve the content and context of vendor contracts in order to provide more transparency and to facilitate oversight of the AOC by both the Advisory Committee and the Judicial Council. And speaking of vendors, one of the delegated tasks to our committee was to help finalize and select a vendor that will conduct a classification and compensation study of the AOC. As some of you recall, the study was highly recommended by the Strategic Evaluation Committee, and the Judicial Council turned it into a directive in August of 2012. In June, the council decided and delegated to E&P the process of authorizing a contract and a vendor. On behalf of the council, the Executive and Planning Committee reviewed the methodology, criteria, process of scoring submitted bids, reviewed the final bids and findings, approved the selection of the highest scored bidder, and directed the AOC to proceed with contract negotiations. Also, one enormous task for our committee has been the oversight of the Judicial Council directives based on the recommendations of the Strategic Evaluation Committee. The committee has leaned heavily, E&P has leaned heavily on the invaluable input from the three Strategic Evaluation Committee members the Chief Justice appointed to the Judicial Council, their Chair, Judge Walkup, their Vice Chair, Judge McCabe, and Judge Cheryl Ellsworth. And thank you very much for your assistance in this process and your insight and input. A fuller report on our progress is attached to our agenda as an informational item. I would like to point out, though, that on September 27th, E&P and the three SEC members met in person for an entire day with AOC managers and executives to review the completed Judicial Council directives, those who that are in the process of being completed and those that will be completed in the future. Council members attending the meeting were pleased by the process of the AOC restructuring, and I'm sure that we may hear at some point today some of their comments, their experiences, and perceptions in that regard. We believe that the remaining directives are currently being completed within a reasonable amount of time, given their complexity or their contingency on the completion of other directives, such as the classification and compensation study. We have decided that the committee, E&P, and the SEC members will reconvene at various intervals during 2014 to review the continued completion of the next group of directives, much and many of them related to the completion of the AOC classification and compensation study. The one item that remains on the discussion agenda for action today is our recommendation to terminate, modify, or retain certain delegations of authority to the administrative director. And I'll have and will reserve more time to talk about that when we are at that point on our agenda for today. And Chief, this completes my report. I would like to add my observation that none of this work could have taken place without, again, your foresight, your commitment to reassessment, and the values of patience and deliberation you've brought to the council and to this process. So thank you, Chief.
Thank you, Justice Miller. Next, we'll hear from Rules and Projects Committee, Justice Hull.
Yeah, thank you, Chief. Good morning. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. On behalf of the Rules and Projects Committee, I can report to you that we have met three times since August 23rd, our last council meeting, once by phone, once by video conference, and once in person. Specifically, the committee met by video conference on September the 9th to review proposals for new and amended rules and forms and a proposal for ethics standards for neutral arbitrators in contractual arbitration. Except for a proposal for technical amendments, all of the proposals that we discussed that day had circulated for public comment during the spring cycle. RUPRO recommends approval of these proposals, which are items A1 through A4, A6 through A29, and A31 through A33 on the consent agenda. In a joint telephone meeting with ENP and the Technology Committee on October the 10th, RUPRO considered public comments on a proposal to establish two new Judicial Council advisory committees and to adopt the necessary rules for those committees. They are the Tribal Court State Court Forum and the Court Security Advisory Committee. The same proposal would also repeal the rules concerning three advisory groups that no longer exist, and the proposal implements recommendations in the report and recommendations to improve the governance, structure, and organization of Judicial Council advisory groups submitted by RUPRO, ENP, and the Technology Committee and approved by the Council in April of this year. RUPRO recommends approval of this proposal, which is item 30 on your consent agenda today. Yesterday, RUPRO met in another joint meeting with ENP and the Technology Committee to consider additional new amended and repealed rules for advisory groups and the Technology Committee. RUPRO approved circulation for comment of this proposal following circulation and further consideration by the three internal committees that I have mentioned. The proposal is expected to come before you at the February 2014 business meeting. RUPRO also yesterday had a short orientation for new RUPRO committee members, and I would like to welcome those members. They are Judges Brian McCabe and Dean Stout, Ms. Angela Davis, and Ms. Mary Beth Todd, and they serve, of course, along with the RUPRO members that have been on the committee for the past year or more, happily. We appreciate everybody's efforts. Finally, RUPRO by email met, so to speak, on October 1st to consider a request by the Civil and Small Claims Advisory Committee and the Appellate Advisory Committee to take certain action in response to legislation involving CEQA. RUPRO approved the amendment of the Advisory Committee's annual agendas and the formation of a joint working group to address these matters. I would also like to, on behalf of RUPRO Chief, if I may, note that, of course, we have lost, so to speak, Ms. Debbie Brown as Chief Counsel, and not truly. She promises to be of assistance as necessary, but I do want to acknowledge her efforts and those of Susan McMullen and Patrick O'Donnell and Camilla Kyliger, and I'm sure many others that I have not worked as closely with over the past 18 months on the RUPRO committee. I have to say that I have consistently been impressed and appreciative on behalf of the committee of their really excellent support, and that support has come to us without fail almost on a day-by-day basis. And on behalf of the Rules and Projects Committee, I would very much like to thank them and the other AOC staff for their work and their dedication. And on a matter, Chief, if I may, which really doesn't relate to RUPRO, I just wanted to make mention, because it has received such a positive response, my court, the Third District Court of Appeal, under the committee leadership of Justice Kathy Butts, conducted what I think is the first ever, at least the first in a long time, conference, Third District Court of Appeal conference, where we invited members or the presiding judges and the court executive officers and others of our 23 counties to Sacramento on Friday the 21st and Saturday the 22nd of September. We had a social event the evening of the 21st. We had 3 one-hour educational sessions on Saturday and also tours of our newly renovated historic courthouse. I would like to say that I enjoyed the event a great deal, and I know that my colleagues on the court did, and we've had a great deal of very positive feedback. We invited prominent members of the bar also. Mark Bonino was there, and I think it was a great success, and I just wanted to congratulate Justice Butts and her committee for putting on such a successful event. Thank you, Chief. That's the report of the RUPRO committee. I'll answer any questions the council may have.
Thank you, Justice Hull. Next, we'll hear from technology, Jim Herman.
Thank you, Chief. First of all, I'd like to start by welcoming our new members to JCTC. Judge David D'Alva is the incoming vice chair. He sat out for a year and has come back to our committee, so we welcome him back and his leadership. Judge Cheryl Ellsworth and Attorney Mike Bonino, is also joining the committee. And, of course, I welcome back our current members. I also welcome back new member David Yamasaki. And David is wears many hats, is hugely busy, but he's agreed to help us. It'll be terrific to have a CEO continuing on the committee. Also like to welcome back and appreciation Judge Terry Jackson, Mark Robinson, and Judge Elias back to the committee. Moving on to a discussion of what the committee's work has been since our last Judicial Council meeting. Pardon me?
Am I chopped liver, she says.
No, Justice Ashman Gerst, you are not chopped liver.
Caviar.
Exactly, caviar. Caviar and cashmere and, you know, CNC. And her contribution is much appreciated because she keeps reminding us about the courts of review and their technology. Every time we talk about the trial courts, then Justice Ashman Gerst reminds me that there are also technological needs for the courts of review. So anyway, we've held two full committee meetings since we last met in August at our September 23rd telephonic. We went over the progress of the remote video proceeding pilot project for remote traffic trials from Fresno and reviewed their first very positive progress report. We got updates on the from CTAC, Court Technology Advisory Committee, from Rob O'Young and the Technology Planning Task Force, and we spent some time discussing the Chief's Access 3D message, particularly the remote access piece and how it aligns with what our technology efforts are going to be. On October 23rd, we had our face-to-face orientation. That was last Wednesday. And at the orientation, it was an all-day meeting and really terrific. I think everybody came away with a real significant in-depth understanding of all of the good stuff that the Information Technology Service Office does, both within the AOC as well as for the trial courts, the courts of review, and the court users in the state. So Mark Dessman and his excellent staff, Renee Hatcher, Virginia Sanders Hines, a number of his managers, and, of course, with the administrative support of Jessica Craven provided educational briefing on ITSO's organizational structure, its work inventory, services provided to the courts, and we actually had a field trip going down to the tech center, that is the on-site smaller tech center, to sort of look at the machines and gears and wiring in terms of what does support us from a mechanical technology perspective. Also, Mark's staff gave an educational presentation on IT management and industry standards. As the council will recall, the council directed JCTC to report back on application of generally accepted IT industry standards, and this is in light of the Alameda Superior Court case management audit that revealed substantial departure from IT standards. So it's part of our work for this year, and we will be reporting back to the council, and so this is a real education for our committee members in terms of all of the various administrative and technology standards that the IT community, both government and private sector, applies. And we also had a presentation on the funding piece from Improvement and Modernization and Trial Court Trust Fund and support for the IT services that we do provide to the courts. And many of those are very important in terms of remote access, in terms of access to the courts. The California Court Protective Order Registry, which protects victims of domestic violence, local area network and wide area network support for 54 of the 58 trial courts, the Judicial Council and the court website designs. I mean, it's great because now we've got a design for the Administrative Office of the Courts and the Judicial Council, and that same format and platform is being deployed by a number of courts. Phoenix Financial, online fillable Judicial Council forms, which are a tremendous number of hits on those fillable forms by lawyers, by self-help, self-represented litigants, self-help centers, legal services, and so forth and so on, a real asset for the technology asset for the state of California. Beyond that, our other activities that the whole committee was not involved in, there's a mention of the court technology conference sponsored by the National Center for State Courts, and Kurt Sutherland and Mark Dustman and myself attended that conference along with the chair and vice chair of CTAC, and it was really a terrific opportunity to see what other courts around the state, around the United States, both federal and state courts, are doing in terms of technology progress. One of the really interesting and curious things that was presented was the idea of holographic court appearances. So, sort of a out-there remote access issue at this point. September 27th, we made a presentation on terms of our work to the CTAC committee. On October 3rd, myself, Judge D'Alba, Rob O'Young, CIO from Santa Clara County, Kurt Sutherland and Zlatko participated in a technology briefing session regarding the planning task force and its process and status to staff representatives from the legislature, both from the Speaker's office as well as the Pro Tem's office, the Legislative Analyst's office, the Department of Finance, and Caltech. It's the California Technology Department. The outcome was very positive. It's clear that from their perspective, our plan at this point is aligning with what particularly the California Department of Technology, what their ideas are in terms of how we should work together with the other branches. Caltech appraised the task force work to date as totally aligned with their best practices. So there was a good outcome. We checked in with them midpoint in our process to make sure that we're moving in the right direction. On October 11th, I participated in a panel discussion and also a presentation to the Benchbar Coalition. The chief was present, and we again talked about the remote piece of her Access 3D and how, again, it aligned with what the branch's go-forward planning is as far as technology is concerned. To give you an update on the Technology Planning Task Force, we're in the process of finalizing the planning, governance, and funding track projects with the goal of, at this point, we're on the verge of just circulating to all of our branch stakeholders and all of our external stakeholders. The task force is a very busy group. The whole task force met by telephone on September 24th and in person on October 10th. And the various tracks, we had over 15 additional meetings and work sessions on the three tracks since our last August meeting. So there's been a substantial amount of work of this. I want to emphasize, just in terms of buy-in from all of our courts, that we have 44 people donated by the trial courts, judges, justices, CEOs, and court information officers from all over the state representing courts large and small and medium that have had input to this process. So this is part of the council's direction to this committee to make sure that our go-forward process is in collaboration with the courts. We've also, in terms of where we're going with this to our stakeholders, this week we're meeting with the trial court PJ Advisory Committee, making a presentation to SEAC next week. We'll take it to the appellate clerks and the appellate presiding justices meetings in the near future for comment and input. And we've got regional meetings that are scheduled in November and December to seek additional input from trial court PJs and CEOs, and we'll come back to the council at the December meeting to discuss our process and input. The task force also, this is kind of meets what some council members have commented on relative to the courts that have come to us sort of one at a time with case management needs and desperate needs in a lot of ways. So the task force has developed a draft, and it's in draft form for circulation, again, to our stakeholders, a draft evaluation matrix that's based on a information technology industry protocol. That is, this is a group of factors to evaluate tech projects, both administratively, business case, and in the case of our court, we've added substantial access piece. And this protocol is transparent. It's got objective criteria to allow JCTC and the council to evaluate and prioritize information technology projects. So This will provide the council with a consistent evaluation rather than a case-by-case evaluation of court projects. And this is sort of a launching platform in anticipation of the budget change proposal timeline. So the task force has already surveyed the trial courts to identify courts interested in applying for budget change proposal funds in order to upgrade or replace their case management systems. And in the case of large courts, obviously the funding stream is if we achieve it, is not going to be large, but we've invited the larger courts to apply for pilot projects or singular case types in terms of case management. The responding courts have been provided with this evaluation matrix so they know exactly what we'll be looking for in terms of prioritization. The technology committee, with the support of ITSO, will beta test the tool. So it's still subject to modification. We're going to see how it works. Beta test the tool to identify and recommend 2 to 3 projects to the council for BCP consideration and the Department of BCP consideration to be forwarded to the Department of Finance in February. So thank you, Chief. That's our report. And if there's any questions, I would, of course, be glad to answer.
Thank you, Judge Herman. As you can see from these reports, I say this to the new members who already have surmised this and have served on many of these advisory committees. There's a great deal of preparation, and as I indicated yesterday in my comments, for a proposal to make it from an advisory committee to council takes about a year's worth of time, with many, many volunteers of judges and lawyers working on these proposals and vetting them and discussing them in a collaborative way with the public. And that's only part of it. The other part is the tremendous assist that we necessarily and critically need from the Administrative Office of the Courts to gather this information and synthesize it and do the research and support the data and support the chairs and support all the volunteers to be able to do the best job we can for ourselves that really trickles down and intentionally is meant for the public. So when I hear these reports and I think of all the meetings and of all the meetings I attend and then these meetings on top of those that are attended by all of you, it's really tremendous work, and that it isn't manifest by how we meet every month or every other month for 2 days and try to take action. So I commend all the volunteers again and the AOC and the chairs for volunteering to take leadership in addition to your professional, all-consuming work to move the branch forward. Thank you.